I think people like Joanne are so special.
When Joanne dances, she doesn't see herself as physically challenged in any way.
By watching her dance and seeing her worship the Lord, it would encourage others.
When she dances definitely for the Lord.
Fitness is my passion.
She has cerebral palsy, and that affects her speech. Not that many people can understand her. It affects her physically. Well, she can do everything. She can drive, she can cook. Basically everything you would do at home.
I don't have fault on the outside, but inside, I do feel normal.
I used to see her in hula classes, but I didn't really know her. I would just go up and say hi, and she would always be really friendly. And
when I first saw Joanne attend the hula class at Hearts in Motion, I was taken aback by watching somebody who is obviously physically challenged dance for the Lord, and you could totally see her heart.
My dance is really awesome.
My dance class is really awesome. She loves to dance. I mean, that's her passion. She blossoms through dancing.
I remember going up to Joanne and, well, first I watched her and I cried. And so I went up to her and just encouraged her to keep dancing. And that Jesus loves that.
There's something about her dancing that makes me want to do it too. I mean, maybe it's the way she dances. I don't know. It just inspires me to dance also.
I feel like when God looks at Joanne dancing, it just is something so beautiful because she is using everything she has to worship Him.
What would you give to the Lord this Christmas season?
I would have to say my dancing.
I would have to say my dancing.
Because he has been blessing me with this talent.
He has blessed me with this gift and talent.
Just that Joanne is an inspiration to us to give our best to the Lord no matter what our situation is, and that's really all the Lord wants. You know, He just wants our hearts giving our best, and nothing else really matters.
In the quiet moments of a day, the worries of the world fade away. Hey, I can hear your voice, it speaks to me. And I hang on every word you say. In those moments it's so clear to me. The more I'm in your presence, Lord, the more that I believe. You are my life. You are my breath. You are holiness. But you take me as I am. You are my strength. You are my peace. You are everything. You're the only thing that matters to me. There are times my mind cannot explain just what happens when I say your name. It's like I've been away and all alone, and I see you standing there, and I know that I am home, 'cause you are my take me as I. You are my strength, you are my peace, you're the everything, you're the only thing that matters to me. So many voices fighting to be heard. Oh, but you're my peacefulness, the place that I can turn. Oh, 'cause you take me as I am. You are my strength, you are my peace, you're my everything, you're the only thing that matters to me. Oh, you're the only thing that matters.
Joanne and her sister Tishana. Would you say thank you again to them? Outstanding. I was in the back and I said, we got to start producing New Hope's Kleenex, you know, just little Kleenex that says New Hope. We're all crying in the back. It's just beautiful to see the heart of God's people. You know, as I said, just came back from Los Angeles, and I traveled different places, and I see some churches that are ornate and beautiful, everything is just sparkling, spanking new, with huge soundboards and beautiful lights and land. Oh my goodness! There's a friend of mine has 102 acres. He has 1,500 people in the church. 102 acres. I said that's obscene. They have that much land. You can't do that. But you know, I look at all of this stuff over there, and then I think, nah. You know what we have? We have heart, we have spirit, and I wouldn't trade that for $10 million. We've got a church with heart. Can you say amen to that? Nothing like it. Nothing like it. But would you take out your notes as we talk about, as we move into Christmas time, something that will help us immensely, and I need you to really catch this message. So please get ready with a pen and our pencil, take some notes. You know, by the way, Every Thanksgiving, we have what we call a turkey bowl. And at 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, a bunch of us young people from New Hope get together. And we have like flag football. So we have four teams going at Stevenson where we started. And we have this turkey bowl. And I was telling Dominic, every year, this is our eighth annual. I said, Dominic, every year, younger and younger kids come out to play. You know, you ever notice that? And of course, they're the same age. It's us. But I thought, as it's just time is just flying by. And I look at this, and 8 years have gone by, and these kids seem to be getting younger and faster and more talented as they play. And the next day, everything in my body seizes up, and it just goes by. And sometimes I long for the simpler, less complicated days that were like those, you know, and just less clutter. And as time goes by, I thought, wow. And I remembered when I got married 30 years ago. This year will be our 30th anniversary. And I found this little thing that talks about the contrast of the two, 30 years ago and today. And I thought, boy, that's really true. Listen to this. 1974, it was long hair. In 2004, 30 years later, it's longing for hair. 1974, it's trying to look like Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor. 30 years later, trying not to look like Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor. It was in 1974. It was the Rolling Stones. 30 years later, it's the Kidney Stones. 1974 was wear whatever. 2004, wear depends. 1974, it was passing the driver's test. 30 years later, passing the vision test. 1974, parents were begging their kids to get a haircut. 30 years later, kids are begging their parents to get their heads shaved. 1974, taking acid. 30 years later, taking antacids. 1974, hoping for a BMW today, just hoping for a good BM.
You'll have to help one another on that one.
But time goes so fast, and you think, how do I prune out the complexities and sort of the overgrowth like that comes upon a neglected yard, that comes upon our life of distractions, activities, things to do. I mean, accumulated possessions clutter our house. We become caretakers of things, doer of tasks. I mean, we keep doing more and more and more, and we seem to be enjoying it less and less and less. How do we correct it all? And sometimes we make poor and wrong corrections that we want to correct it. Get rid of this, just get rid of that, get rid of the kids. I don't even want to worry about the kids. And we throw ourselves into work and we make things worse yet because we're trying to just get rid of some clutter. And we do it wrong, as was Manuel in the drugstore. Manuel was in the drugstore, and every time he just did it wrong, somebody would come in and say, I want aspirin. And he couldn't find aspirin, so he'd give him like vitamin C. And so, good enough, good, take that. And the boss was watching Manuel. So, Manuel, you better start giving him the right stuff. Okay. Next day, someone comes in and says, hey, I need eye drops. He couldn't find it. Eardrops, close enough. Close, real close, take that. Well, after a while, people are complaining to the boss, and the boss said to Manuel, one more time you give him the wrong stuff, you're fired. Well, the next day, he's watching Manuel. The guy comes in and says, hey, I need some cough syrup. I just have this horrible bad cough, this big Hawaiian guy. So Manuel's looking all over for cough syrup. Can't I find any? So he grabs cod liver oil, it's a laxative, and said, drink this down. Just drink them down. That'd be good enough. So the guy just drinks it down. And he walks out of the drugstore and leans up against a post like this. And the boss sees that and he says, Manuel, you gave him a laxative for a cough syrup. That won't work. Manuel says, yeah, it works. No, it's a wrong way to correct the cough. No, it's right. How do you know? Watch him by that lamppost. He's afraid to cough.
I can't believe I told that joke in church. But, you know, sometimes, see what happens with LAA? I come back, oh, dementia. But, you know, sometimes our attempts to correct things go the wrong way. How do you correct it so that we can sort of come back to something that's simple and our lives are back in balance? Well, let me start off by saying this. There's some people in our church that actually play pro ball. We have a guy that plays for the Blue Jays, and he's off season right now, and he's back at church. And we have a
guy that's in the Hilo Church that plays for the Dodgers and is one of the pitchers, left-handed pitchers. I was at one of the games, and he cracked a line drive to center field and went all the way to the fence. And after the game, I saw him, and I said, "Man, that was a great hit." And he said, "Nah, I just missed it." I said, "You missed it? No way. That was a screamer." He said, "No, I missed it." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I missed the sweet spot. If I would have hit the ball, if it would have hit the sweet spot on the bat, it would have been over the fence. I just missed it." We all know what the sweet spot is on a bat. It's that one part of the bat when the ball hits off of that, it goes the most optimum distance with the least amount of effort. If you're a golfer, you know that sweet spot right on the club. Back. And the same is with racquetball or tennis. That there's a sweet spot that when you hit that ball, it screams, it rockets off of that the racquet face. And with the least amount of effort, that's where it's designed to come off of. It's that, they call it a sweet spot. I was coming out of Australia a few months ago, and there was this guy swinging a golf club in the airport, and it was a demo of some kind. So I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm just selling this, and it's a Velcro thing. You put on your golf face, and there's a ball, there's like a Velcro ball, and so you hit the ball, and then you can look at where it hit on the club," because he said that's how you kind of adjust it and correct it so you can see if you're missing the sweet spot. I thought, that is really cool, because you can't, you know, tell if you're just hitting. And yeah, this one sticks onto the golf club, and you can look at the ball on the golf club. That's great. So I tried it. I swung, man, 3-4 times. It was the nicest thing. And then he put the ball on the tee and made it hot. That was real hot after that. But you know, it's correcting back to that sweet spot. And I thought, wouldn't that be nice if we could find the sweet spot of life where we correct everything back to? It's sort of like taking your car in for a tune-up where they recalibrate the points or recalibrate the gap on your spark plug, so that everything is running at optimum. They recalibrate everything, your carburetor, the gas and air mixture, so that everything is just right, so it's running at its optimum. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we can take our lives in for a tune-up and correct back to that sweet spot? What would that be? You know, I was reading in Mark chapter 12 about a widow that gave very little, according to other people, but Jesus says no. She gave more than everybody else. Let's read at the top of the notes. Ready? Go. He called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the others have given. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." And I thought, Lord, you're not talking about money, are you? You're really talking about something else. You're not talking about the task of giving. What was it, Lord, that you saw that caused even her small attempt to have such value in your eyes? An easy swing that gave optimum distance and value to what she did. It isn't about money, is it, Lord? And I looked at that and I thought, oh, God, you're talking to us about the fact that sometimes we think we've got a lot of effort going, and you're saying, no, I look at something else. Within the task is what that gives your life such value. What do we correct back to, Lord? I said, that gives us that kind of value in your sight. What was it in her life that you said, that's it, that's it? It wasn't too much, Lord. Yeah, but she hit the sweet spot. Lord, how do we correct back to that sweet spot? Let me give you three principles today that will help us as this upcoming season is upon us to be able to live out of the sweet spot of our lives. And how do you correct back to that? Because often we're out of that and we're putting in a lot of effort, a lot of strength, a lot of push, but we're missing it. And the Lord is saying, it's not how much effort you put into it, it's how much sweet spot you hit. Well, how do you correct back to that? Well, the first is this. Would you write down, here's three corrections. How do you correct back to the calibration? What do you correct to? Well, the first is, in your life and everything that you do, number one, is would you always do this? Correct back to heart. Heart. You see, that's what Jesus saw in this woman who gave. She gave, according to other people, not much. But the Lord said she has more value than anyone else. Why? Because she gave with all her heart. You see, that's one of the very first things that drops out in our push world of rushing in for post-Thanksgiving sales. Everybody's rushing in to get something. And the first sign of missing the sweet spot often is that we begin to do more and more, and we do it with less and less heart because the complexity of life increases. There's overgrowth, like in a neglected yard. There's just, in our life, my life, it just, this overgrowth starts. We all know about that. There's soccer practice with the kids and after school activities, and there's church and their friends and the kids' friends, and then there's other volunteer things. And like an increasing overgrowth, what happens is there's just overgrowth of activities. And like the parable of the sower and the seed, it's like sowing among thorns, and it just chokes out the fruitfulness, complexity, clutter, possessions, things, task. And we keep going, but you know what falls out? Heart. So we're doing the stuff, but there's no heart. So what happens after a while, if we're not careful, we're putting in a lot of effort, but nothing's happening. And so we're married without heart. We have a ministry without heart. We're starting to do parenting without heart. And we keep going and going. There's no time for devotions. There's no time to sit before the shepherd of our souls and hear anymore because we've got so much stuff to do. And you know what? You start missing the sweet spot of life, and life gets harder and harder, and it goes less and less, becomes less and less fruitful. And you run into more and more problems. You say, don't you see how much effort I'm putting in? We'll say to our wife or our husband, do you see how much we're trying? What happens is we miss the sweet spot. And we're saying, why? And God is saying, one of the ways to correct back is when you rewind the tape, when you see the activities that you're doing and you're doing it with less and less heart, stop and correct back. Always correct back to heart. If you're doing something without much heart, stop, correct back. Correct back. You say, well, what if I'm doing a job that I don't love? Well, then learn to love your job. Well, I don't have a heart for it. Put heart into it. It's a choice we all make. And it may not be the job you're going to do till Jesus comes, but it may be a step towards the job that he wants you to have. And so he's saying, but if you can't put heart in now, even if I give you the job of your dreams, it's going to turn into work some days. Even if you do what you love, it's going to be tough sometime. And if you can't put in heart now, you won't put in heart then. Correct back to heart and stay with your heart. Correct back to heart all the time. I say that to people on the front lines that are people that are dancing or singing. Because sometimes you can have a lot of complexity of musicians. You can have a lot of stuff going. In fact, we just had a practicum and a pastor said, you know, in order to reach people, you got to have bigger bands and bigger this and bigger that. When do you stop? How do you correct it? Where's the optimum? So you always correct back to heart. You can have one guitar, and if that person is singing with all of his heart, it is so much better than 50 musicians that have no heart at all, and all it is skill in reading charts. The Holy Spirit will use one person with great heart than 50 that have none. You always correct back to heart. So if you've got 50 musicians, keep cutting them back until those four or five have great heart, and then you start building. And this is sort of like overgrowth on life. And here's your heart. Watch this. At the beginning of any church, any family, any marriage, isn't it all heart? I remember when Anna and I got married, you know, we had zero for our wedding. We had to borrow $200 to get married. We had zero money. And so we had a lot of heart. We lived in a very small apartment, and that was it. But we had a lot of heart. But after a while, activities start to overgrow the heart. Well, I got to bring in this much money. I got to make this. I got to be here. I got to do that. I got to do this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Correct back to heart. So I say to musicians, when it starts growing out like this and the complexity of things happening up front, stop. If it's overgrown the heart and people cannot see heart, then prune back to heart. Oh, there's a heart. There it is. Okay, now let it grow. Okay, whoop, 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 whoop. Correct back. There. Oh, there's a heart. Okay, now the heart can be seen. Oh, no more. No heart. Okay, correct back. There it is. Okay, easy. Don't add too fast. Nope, too much. Right. There it is. Okay, just stay with heart. And that is true in life. You can get going so much in a job, making money, that you overgrow your heart. And then you can't see the heart of your marriage anymore. Always correct back to heart so that you, your spouse, your family, your heart before the Lord, your whether it be ministry, volunteerism, that what people see is your heart of devotion. And once anything overgrows that, prune it back. Just prune it back until your heart is there. And correct back to heart. That's the sweet spot. A lot of that will be dependent on your time before the shepherd of your soul. And that's why we hammer on devotions, because the Lord does that. Isn't it true sometimes you're reading devotions and the Lord will say, your heart's gone, Wayne, because I'm internally complaining. Oh, I got to preach, or I got to do this. The Lord says, whoa, whoa, whoa. How come? Well, I got so much stuff to do. Okay, prune back to heart. Delegate that. Call Elwin. Tell him to do more. this and that. And then give some stuff away. That's not true. He does so much. But to prune back to heart. Prune back to heart. So that everything you do, Wayne, you do with all your heart. And then God says, even if it might seem like a little thing, I will tell all the disciples of heaven to stop, because that has more value than anything else. And as you stand before the Lord, oh, God begins to prune your heart. I tell the story of the Africans that was hired by this Englishman because he was late, 3 days late for a safari. So he's catching up with the safari that his friends were on. He hires some Africans and he tells them, carry my bags. So they're running all day to try and catch up with the safari group. First night, they just fall down, completely exhausted. The next morning, he blows the whistle. They pick up the pack and they're running. The second day, bang, they fall down at night, exhausted. Third day, same thing. They're up running again. He said, if we hurry tomorrow, we should catch up with the safari. The fourth day, he blows the whistle. Nobody moves. They just lay there. He blows the whistle again. Come on, get up. He goes to the leader of the Africans. Said, you tell your men to get up and carry my bags, because I'm paying you. I'm paying you good money. Oh, Buona, he said, my men will not move all day. What do you mean? They're just going to lay around all day. Well, why? He says, you've been pushing us so much these last 3 days. We have to stay here one whole day and let our souls catch up with us. And you know, sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We're running and pushing so fast in this push-away society that our souls are so far behind. And when you sit before the shepherd of our souls, sometimes God says, Wayne, just sit for a bit and let your soul catch up. And add soul back into what you're doing in ministry. Add soul back into what you're doing as a parent. Add soul back in what you're doing as a dad. Add soul back in what you're doing as a husband. And then you'll start to correct back to the sweet spot of your life. And the fruit will be much greater with a lot less stress. Especially as the season comes up. How are you doing? Check on yourself. How are you living out of your heart? Correct back. Do you need to take some rest? Do you need to take some time with the shepherd? Do it. Because remember, the Lord will be able to use heart much more than skill or talent. I love the story of this little old country church where they were doing a talent show. And the pastor said, come on, let's have you guys share your favorite scripture. And they all wanted Mr. Jones to come up, Dr. Jones, they called him. So he came up and he said, I will tell you about and recite the shepherd's psalm. And he began to share in his eloquent voice, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie, King James, he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And everybody's, ooh, they're just amazed, in awe of his eloquence. When he was done, oh, they clapped. And then pastor said, Farmer Bill. Farmer Bill was an old guy, codgety old guy. He had overalls on. He often would suck on a, you know, bite on one of these little sticks even during church. And the pastor said, Farmer Bill, come on. Aw, shucks, he said. I can't do it like Dr. Jones. Oh, no, the pastor said, just come on. Well, y'all know the only one I know is a shepherd's psalm. It's the same one Dr. Jones did. Oh, come on, everybody. Come on, Bill, come on. So Bill shucks, he came up. Bill, he said, y'all, this is hard for me, but they, come on, Bill. So they all settled down. He said, well, y'all know that 7 years ago our farm didn't produce anymore and we had to sell off most of our equipment. But I know that the good Lord is my shepherd. And I have everything I need. Y'all know that Mama died right after the drought. And the kids had to drop out of school to help us pay the bills. But the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Oh, I was hurting. But he leadeth me beside the still waters. And he restored my soul. I was ready to take my life. I didn't know what to do. But he restored my soul. And as he continued, the place got quieter and quieter. And when he was done, you could hear a pin drop. He sat down and everyone was quiet. Then Dr. Jones came back up and he said, you know, I know the shepherd's psalm, but Farmer Bill, he knows the shepherd. And that makes all the difference in the world. See, the Holy Spirit will use heart. And when you live out of the sweet spot of your life, it'll come out of your heart. And that's what God uses to change the world. So the first is, how do you live out of the sweet spot of your life? What do you correct to? The first is, in everything that you're doing, in your family, your business, your ministry, your relationships, correct back to heart. Correct back to heart. And that'll help you to get to the sweet spot. The second thing is, and there's three corrections, and the second is this. The second is correct back to the peace of Christ. Correct back to the peace of Christ. Let's read Colossians 3:15. Go. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. The Bible says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Would you circle the word rule? That's a Greek word, barbuo, which means an umpire. It's a referee. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire. Let him be the referee. You see, an umpire in a baseball game is one who calls whether it's a hit or if it's fair or if it's foul. That umpire will say, strike, ball. Out, safe. And the Bible is saying that let the peace of Christ be an umpire in your life. Let it say, no, fair, foul. In other words, if you don't have the peace of Christ, if the peace of God isn't in you when you're about to do something, say something, an activity that you're about to do, if there's not a peace about it, then it's calling fair or foul. It's saying out of bounds. And as you correct back to the peace of God, do you have a peace about that, what you're doing? Is there a peace about it? Sometimes you'll be watching a movie or a television show and you'll say, man, I just don't have a peace about this, watching this stuff. Then learn to correct back to that. And it works hand in hand with conscience. Because if you're correcting to the peace of Christ or the umpire of God in your soul, which is like your works hand in hand with your conscience, then you'll start to say, you know, that something's not right about this. I don't like that. I remember I was watching a movie. I went with some friends, and it just started to get raunchier and raunchier and raunchier. And I said to my friends, hey, I'll see you guys later. I got to go. And they said, oh, come on, you dwarf. Come on, you woman. I said, no, man, I don't have a piece about it. And they gave me all kinds of trouble. But, you know, even though I left and felt horrible because of the friends there that would see me as some wimp, you know, I look back, and I don't even remember the movie. I don't even remember anything more about the day, but I do remember always looking back and saying, I'm glad I did that. I'm just glad I did that. When you start to obey the peace of Christ, you start getting corrected back to the sweet spot of your life. And that's where your conscience comes in. You see, it's going to work hand in hand because the part of your soul, as it were, that's most sensitive to the peace of God or the angst of God or the wrath or what's right or what's wrong, will be your conscience. So can I encourage you to do something? Learn to make friends with your conscience. Learn to make friends with your conscience. Don't be at enmity with your conscience. When your conscience says something, it's, forget it, and you do another thing. Then what happens is you start to destroy your conscience so that you cannot hear its voice anymore. But the Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it be the umpire. And when you say, you know, I don't have a peace about that, man, learn to listen. Because what it's doing is it's starting to correct you back to the sweet spot of your life. Let's read 1 Timothy 1:5 and watch how Paul, how he is with Timothy, his young protege. And he's teaching his young Timothy, his protege, how to correct to the sweet spot of his life. Let's read it. Go. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. You see, he's saying the goal of everything we're learning at church, you learn from devotions, you learn at a seminar. The goal of everything we're learning is so that it will have as its outcome love from a pure heart, or correct back to heart, a good conscience, correct back to the peace of God. And we'll talk about a faith that's sincere in your relationships. It's not just a religious thing, but actually works out. And so that scripture says to Timothy, here's how you correct to the sweet spot of your life so that you're living out of the sweet spot of your life. And you don't want to lose that because then you're going to be putting in tons of effort and you'll be going nowhere but out of bounds. So the first is the goal of all our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith that's sincere. Now, if you don't understand that that's why we're learning everything, if you don't understand that the goal is to have love from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith, then we will learn and learn and learn and still our lives will end up in tragedy. This next year I will be in Hawaii, will have been in ministry here in Hawaii 20 years, altogether 30 years. And over the last 30 years, I have seen many who start off strong, who are wonderful people in church, learn tons, but because they don't correct back to the sweet spots, they drift and drift. They don't correct back. They don't have love from a pure heart. They forget the goal of their instruction is to have a good conscience and a faith that's sincere. That after 5, 6, 8 years, their lives often just end tragically. In relationships, there's a blowout. There's a destruction because they haven't taken the time to have a faith that's sincere. A faith without pretense. Because often, isn't it true, we can come, get some instructions on faith, and it's religious, but we don't live it out in life. So as soon as we go out, we don't realize that the reason we're learning is so that we can apply it. And I've done that before. Isn't it true, you know, you can be at home, you can be really a religious person, but it's going to show up in relationships. Yelling at my kids, Aaron, shut up, Aaron, get in here, clean this up, what's the matter with you? Ring, ring, honey, it's for you. They were asking for Pastor Wayne. Oh, okay, give me that thing. God bless you, hallelujah. Yes, oh, praise the Lord. You know, You see, it's not a faith that's sincere. And so the third thing in correcting back to the sweet spot of your life is, would you write in number three, you got to correct back to healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. You know, and that's often the toughest calibration of all. It's a call to just keep relationships healthy. But let's read Matthew 5. Ready? Go. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar. And what? Go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. You know what he's saying? Simply is this. He's saying it's a call to keep relationships healthy. And if relationships are no longer healthy, and you know it, don't tolerate it. Stop. That's what Proverbs 6 says. If you've been caught in the snare, with the snare of your words, and you've broken a relationship, it says, don't give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Like a gazelle, deliver yourself from the hunter's trap, and like a bird from the snare. Go and importune your neighbor, which means go at any time and just make sure that you get that relationship right. You know what he's saying? Don't tolerate broken relationships. And one of the things that's so important to correct back to the sweet spot of your life is saying this. Number one, am I doing everything that I do with my heart? Can I correct my heart? And then, is the peace of God ruling in my heart, in my life? Am I allowing him to call fair ball, foul ball? And then how are my relationships? Oh, I'm not saying to get rid of, ruin your principles just to say, well, everybody's fine, everything, whatever is it. No. I'm saying it's a call to try and make sure that relationships are healthy at every turn. And don't tolerate broken relationships, because it'll only get more and more infected. And the best thing to do is just forgive quickly. Just forgive quickly. Someone says something that's not the best. I was in L.A. and someone said something to me that I thought, oh, no. And I thought, oh, and I was just fussing over that. And the Lord just said, would you forget it? Because see, all of us are immature to one aspect or another. Me would be the first to raise my hand. We all are immature to one aspect, to one extent or another. And so there's going to be times where words will come from an immature kind of perspective or whatever. And if we dwell on it and rehearse it and nurse it, it'll kill us. Just forgive and let it go and move on, so that you keep what? Relationships healthy, and you'll start to live again out of the sweet spot of your life. When you stop forgiving quickly, you watch how you start missing the sweet spot all the time. And you have to put more and more effort into stuff. And then you get bitter. And you get susceptible to just getting a little critical. And the Lord is saying, correct back. Just let it go. Correct back to good relationships. Yeah, but it's just easier to cut them off. Ah, no, you can't do that. Can't do that. Remember the story of Pancho Villa? He was such a notorious robber. He just went around, just killed everybody. And one day, in the worst battle of his life, he was just riddled with bullets. And as he was laying there dying, he said, Padre, get me a padre. So finally, a priest ran over and he said, Padre, Padre, I am dying. And the priest said, I see that, Pancho Villa, but you are a very bad man. He said, I know, but I want to go to heaven. And the padre said, but have you forgiven all your enemies? And Pancho Villa smiled real big and he said, I have no more enemies. I have killed them all. You can't do that. The Lord is saying, check your relationships. I remember a pastor asked me that. He said, he saw me in a restaurant. He said, Wayne, give me like a video or something for my church, because my church is just flatline. It's just dying. And I said, well, how did it get that way? He said, I don't know. I've just been there a year. I said, well, how was it before you came? Bad. He said, bad. I said, well, how did it get so bad? He said, I don't know, but you know how the pastor left before I took over? I said, what? He said, I was there that Sunday morning. Pastor came up on the podium and he said, could I have the board members stand up? The board member stood up and he said, it's because of these people I'm leaving this church. He took his Bible and left. I said, no way. He said, yeah. I said, that didn't happen. He said, yes, it did. I was there in the second row. I said, no, it didn't happen that Sunday. He said, yes, it did. I said, no, it didn't happen that Sunday. It surfaced that Sunday, but it probably happened 2 years before when that pastor and the people began to tolerate broken relationships. Bless you. And then everything started going underground. And so all these broken relationships, it was like an open running sewer under the church. And people come into the church and everybody smiles at the door. Welcome to our church. Welcome to our church. And it's just no more than 2-3 minutes. People walk in. Whew, something stinks in this place. It doesn't take people very long to sense that there's broken relationships. There's a smell. There's an odor. I said, here's your program for the next year. Institute, inaugurate, no new programs. That's the program. Here's your program. Go to every single person that you might have a broken relationship with and forgive and say, are we doing okay? Is there anything that I can do? Anything I've done to offend you, please forgive me. Just have everybody do that and just forgive. Give everybody a new slate. Greatest gift you can give to somebody. The greatest gift of all. Is a clean slate. And not only will it help your heart, it'll help the church. Correct back to healthy relationships. And when you do, you'll start to live out of the sweet spot of your life. Here's the three things. Number one is correct back to heart. And if things start to overgrow your heart and activities are more and you lost your soul and you lost your heart, correct back, correct back. Oh, there's my heart. Okay, whoa, 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 it's gone too much. Yeah. I got to do everything in my life has to be with my heart first. And the second is, correct back to the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And the third is, correct back to relationships, healthy, healthy relationships. And you know, I said to that pastor, and you know, do that by this Sunday. He said, what? I said, just ask everybody, make sure that we've given everyone a clean slate. He said, this Sunday? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, cancel church. He said, who are you to tell me to cancel church? I said, no, I'm not telling you. Matthew 5 is. It says, when you are giving your gift at the altar and you remember that a brother has an ought against you, leave your gift at the altar. And first, go make it right and then come back and offer your gift. You know what God is saying? Having right relationships are more important than just having church every week. See, if we correct back to the sweet spot of our lives, do you understand how sweet life will be? And God is saying to us, as he did to Timothy, correct back to heart, whatever you need to do. And sometimes it's not the people or the job, it's the heart that needs to be recalibrated. And say, Lord, I'm going to put my heart back into this. And it's going to require you to sit before the shepherd so that he can recalibrate your heart on a daily basis in devotions. And the second is, recalibrate back to the peace of God. Lord, I want to have a peace. And if I don't have one right now, but it's the right thing to do, I'm going to pray until I get that faith, get that confidence, Lord, because I need to make sure my heart is involved. And if there's a decision you're making about a relationship or something that you're going to a show that you're watching and there's not the peace there, there's no peace, make friends with your conscience. Make friends with your conscience. And let the peace of Christ guide your heart, rule your heart, and watch how it corrects you to the sweet spot, and then correct back to healthy relationships. When you do that, you'll start to live out of the sweet spot of your life, and there's not a greater place to be than there. That's the greatest gift you can give yourself this season. To one another, a clean slate. To yourself, correct back to the sweet spot. It'll be the best ever. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you. Would you bow your heads as we conclude in prayer? Father, thank you that some of this message, I just like preaching to the choir because we have a church filled with heart. Even as we saw with Joanne and her dance and her life and testimony. And so many of our servants, our ushers and greeters and our Levites and camera people and these singers and musicians, they all play heart first. They all sing heart first.
They serve heart first. So, Father, I pray that you will increase that and that we might in those ways excel still more. And then, Father, help us to understand the peace of Christ, that you would rule in our hearts and everything that we do. And in doing so, we're constantly being corrected back to the sweet spot. And then, Lord, healthy relationships. Would you guide us in that way, Father, so that we can give to one another a clean slate, to ourselves the sweet spot, correcting back to that. I don't know if there's any greater gift than that, Lord, that we could have this season. So thank you, Father, for what you're teaching us. We receive that in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed, if you'd say, you know, there's some correcting I need to do, Wayne, and the Lord's speaking to me, and I need to do some of that because I really do want to live out of the sweet spot of my life. And Lord, I want to do my best with your help to make those corrections. If that's you, would you just raise a hand and say, Lord, yeah, you've spoken to me, and I want to do that. Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, that'll make this season the best ever. So, Lord, would you see our hands and our hearts as we choose to live for you? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you seal that with a clap offering to the Lord? Just tell him thank you. Have a great evening. Give someone a hug on your way out. Take